message after a word of prayer. Dear gracious and loving Father in heaven, hallowed and honored be thy name, Father. We thank you again for this Shabbat that you've given us. We thank you for the ability to come here and worship you, discuss your word. We thank you for all things. And Father, we lift up those on Miss June's request there to you for healing, spiritual and physical. Each one of us, we lift ourselves up to you. And we ask that everything that's said and done here be to your praise and your honor and your glory. We claim your promise of the Holy Spirit that you said would be here to guide us. We pray these things through Messiah Yeshua. Amen. Interestingly enough, we almost touched on our sermon this morning in Torah study, early on in our Torah study. The title of our message today is Yeshua, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And for our first scripture, we're going to go to the Gospel of John, verses 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him. And without Him, not one thing came into being. Did you get that? Without Yeshua, not one thing came into being. This means that each one of us here today, everything we hear, see, touch, taste, none of that came into being without Yeshua from the very beginning. And also, we want to turn to Colossians for more on this. Chapter 1, verses 12 through 17. Giving thanks to the Father who has made us qualified for the share of the inheritance of the saints in the light, who has personally rescued us from the power of darkness and has transferred us unto the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His own blood, even the remission of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, because by Him were all things created, the things in heaven and the things on earth, the visible and the invisible, whether they be thrones or lordships or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all, and by Him all things subsist. Now, did you get that? By Yeshua were all things created. The things in the heaven and the earth, it says. By Him were all things created. The things in the heavens and in the earth. When speaking of the Son. Now, this goes completely against mainstream thinking. And what most of us have probably thought all of our life. It means that He is the creator, not only of us, but also of the angels in heaven. If all things were created in heaven by Him and for Him, then therefore He is, Yeshua is the creator of the angels. This is not something that most people grasp. But I do believe that is why we're told numerous times in scriptures that He will return with His heavenly host or His angels because He created them. They are His. And as I said, this goes against the process of most of the mainstream thinking in this world. But we're reading it straight from the Scriptures. And also, if you noticed there in verse 15, it tells us that Yeshua is the image of the invisible God. So what is this saying? Is this saying the Father is invisible to man? Well, back in John chapter 1, in verse 18, it tells us, when speaking of the Father, no one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known. It says again, no one has ever seen God. It is God's, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, which has made him known. And in 1 John 4 and 12, it makes the same statement. No one has ever seen God when speaking of the Father. So, if it weren't for Yeshua, we would know nothing of the Father. He came to reveal the Father to us. And if no one has ever seen God, as we just read from the Scriptures very plainly, who was the God who walked with Adam in the garden? Who was it who talked face to face with Moses? Who walked and talked with Abraham? These Scriptures just plainly told us that no one has ever saw the Father. It doesn't say only a few. It says no one. And let's look at some Scriptures to confirm, in fact, that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob did, in fact, talk face to face with these people. Exodus 33 and 11 tells us, thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. Then he would return to the camp, but his young assistant Joshua, son of Nun, would not leave the tent. There we have it, very plain. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob spoke face to face with Moses as one speaks to a friend. Now, if I speak face to face with Tommy, he sees me, doesn't he? So if no one has ever saw the Father, as we've already established from Scripture, who's speaking to Moses here? And then back in Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 through 11. They heard the sound of the Lord God. This is after Adam and Eve had sinned and became scared. It says, they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, where are you? He said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. He said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you not to eat? So again, we see the Lord God presenting himself to man. And again, I ask, if this isn't the Father, who is it? And in Genesis chapter 18, in verse 1, it tells us, the Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre as he sat at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. And then it goes on to tell us all throughout that chapter how the Lord walked with Abraham and talked to him about what was going to transpire with Sodom. How Abraham negotiated with the Lord God of Israel about if you find this many righteous men there, will you destroy it? And then at the very end, after they've had this long conversation, in verse 33 it says, "And the Lord went his way when he had finished speaking to Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place." So this is very clearly the Lord God that Abraham sees, is it not? And we just referenced two scriptures that tells us no one has ever seen the Father. And now we have not two, as it tells us to establish something by two witnesses, but three witnesses, where the Lord God of the Old Testament, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has talked with and viewed men face to face. So this is clearly the Son, Yeshua, who is walking and talking with these three men. Now, there's a reason that most people don't want to believe this. Because if you suddenly come to the truth and the belief that Yeshua is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, it becomes real hard to dismiss the Torah, to dismiss the writing of the prophets and the Psalms, all of the things of the so-called Old Testament. It becomes very difficult to dismiss these things. So, let's establish the fact that it was him with even more scriptures. Isaiah 48, verses 12 and 13. "Listen to me, O Jacob and Israel, whom I called. I am he. I am the first, and I am the last. My hand laid the foundation of the earth, and my right hand spread out the heavens. When I summon them, they stand at attention." Now, let's move all the way over to Revelation, chapter 1. Verses 17 and 18. John says, "When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead, but he placed his right hand on me, saying, 'Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last and the living one. I was dead, and see, I am alive forever and ever. I have the keys of the grave and of death.'" Did you see in Isaiah 48? The God of Israel said, "I am the first and I am the last." And in Revelation, Yeshua said, "I am the first and I am the last." So, the God of Israel, or the Old Testament as people would like to say today, and Yeshua, the God of the New Testament, identifies himself as the first and the last. And now we're going to move all the way back to 1 Samuel, chapter 2, verse 2. "There is no holy one like the Lord, no one beside you. There is no rock like our God, the God of Israel. There is no holy one like the Lord, no one beside you. There is no rock like our God, the God of Israel." Then in Romans chapter 9, verse 33, Paul says, exactly as it is written, "Behold, I place in Zion a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, but everyone who believes in him shall not be ashamed. And in Matthew chapter 7, I'm going to give David a workout with a lot of scriptures today. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Yeshua says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and practices in them, I will compare him to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And to drive this point home of the rock, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. Paul tells us, now I do not wish you to be ignorant of this, brethren, that our ancestors were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and they all ate of the same spiritual meat, and they all drank of the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Messiah. Amen. Who is our rock?
Messiah.
Messiah is our rock. Messiah Yeshua. Yeshua HaMashiach. And in Deuteronomy, chapter 32, verses 3 and 4, because I will proclaim the name of Yahweh and ascribe greatness to our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect for all. His ways are just. A God of faithfulness and without iniquity. Just and upright is he. Now, as we said, Yeshua is our rock. And very clearly, we see in all of these scriptures, the Lord God of Israel is referred to as the rock. And we see in all of these New Testament scriptures, Yeshua is referred to as the rock. And believe it or not, we probably have not yet to look at the most definitive scripture on this subject. But very clearly, we already see that if no one has ever saw the Father, and we have three accounts of the Lord God of Israel walking and talking face to face with men, could not have been the Father who was walking and talking with them. We have saw from Scripture already where we are told plainly that no one knew the Father. The Son, Yeshua, revealed him to us. Most people like to pass over that scripture because everyone wants to think that the Father is the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, why do you think we have so many scriptures that confirm this fact, that Yeshua is in fact the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Because he knows the beginning to the ending. And he knew that most people would turn away from or lose sight of this important fact. Because we've already touched on the fact of why mainstream Christianity would not like you to know this fact. Because as we discussed in Torah this morning, they want to say that his commands were nailed to the cross. But if we realize that the one giving these commands was Yeshua himself, suddenly, that makes even less sense, doesn't it? That he would give us a set of instructions to live by and then come and say, I changed my mind. You know what? Just throw all that out and let's start over. That don't sound much like a God that says, I change not, does it? It don't sound like a God that says, I am the same today or yesterday, today, and tomorrow. That doesn't even sound like a God we would know how to follow, does it? Because when might he change his mind again and say, hey, let's toss this idea out and try something else. This ain't working. That's not the kind of God I serve. Now, is knowing this fact, do you think it could be a salvation issue? Knowing this fact? Let's see what he says about it. First of all, let's go to Exodus chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. But Moses said to God, if I come to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. He said further, this you shall say to the Israelites, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, thus you shall say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this my title for all generations. So the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob has just told us that his name and his title for all generations is I Am. And he stressed that point to us, that that was his title for all generations. He stressed it for a reason. Because, as we said a while ago, he knows the beginning to the end. And he knows people will turn away from it. Now, in John chapter 8, verse 24, Yeshua is speaking here and he says, that is why I said to you that you shall die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am, you shall die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am, you shall die in your sins. Now, some translations say I am he here. But when you look up the original, it says I am. But either way, it would still identify him as the God of the Old Testament, because you remember in Isaiah 48 and 12, he said, I am he. I am the first and I am the last. So either way, he's still identifying himself. And also, there in John chapter 8 and verse 58, as Tommy quoted this morning, Yeshua said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am. He cannot say it any clearer to us. He is straight out telling you. He identified himself in Exodus to Moses as I am. And he said, you tell them, this is my title forever. And then when he's here walking the earth in the flesh, he says, if you don't realize, believe that I am, you're going to die in your sins. It doesn't get any plainer than that. Why are you going to die in your sins? Because you're going to toss out everything I've already told you. You're not going to listen to nothing I said through all of my prophets. When the Word says, I don't do anything without first revealing it to my prophets. This is what the mainstream churches fail to understand. This is what they do not grasp. That's why they don't understand when Yeshua says in John 14 and 15, "If you love me, keep the commandments, namely my commandments." He is in fact telling us to keep the commandments that he himself gave to us through Moses. He's not saying just keep a few new ones I gave you. He's saying keep my commandments that I've already given to you. They also fail to grasp this when they read John 15 and 14. When Yeshua says, "You are my friends if you do what I command you." That's a big if. Amen? It's a big if. So if you can toss out the fact that Yeshua is the God of the Old Testament, then you can have this doctrine that they have that you don't have to listen to everything he told us. But you can't toss it out. He has told us, and there's many more scriptures that back what I'm saying here today, but we have referenced a bunch of them here, and he says it very plainly. He's the rock. He's the rock. He's I am. He's I am. He's the first and the last. He's the first and the last. It can't get any plainer. And failing to understand who I am is how they justify not following Torah. It's how they come to think of his word as two separate books. The Old Testament and the New Testament. One side of the cross, the other side of the cross. It's how they come up with all of these things. When in fact it is one book, one truth, one gospel from Genesis to Revelation. All the way through it is one gospel. This is also what Orthodox Jews fail to understand. They missed the same boat as the mainstream Christians do. They do not understand who I am is. Remember in John 1 and 18 when it says, "No one has ever seen God. It is the only Son who is close to the Father's heart that has made him known." They did not, and they do not understand that when they deny Yeshua, they are denying the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They're denying the very God that they profess to believe in. This same mistake kills both mainstream Christians and Orthodox Jews not knowing who I am is. And as June referenced this morning, the scriptures are clear that the remnant is small in number. We're the minority. And I believe this is one of the reasons for that. Jews and Christians alike deny that Yeshua is and was the I Am from the Old Testament, from the Torah. And in doing so, as I said, both missed the same boat. He, Yeshua, is and has always been the only way to the Father. That does not mean the Father does not exist. As it said, he came to reveal the Father to us. He made him known to us. That is why he constantly spoke of the Father. Over and over, Yeshua spoke of the Father, my Father in heaven, your Father in heaven, the Father. He told us to pray to the Father in heaven. He also informed us that anything we ask in his, Yeshua's name, would be granted to us. So we shouldn't leave either one of them out in our prayer. He is the only way. Acts 4 and 12 tells us. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among mortals by which we must be saved. No other name. Now we serve a just God. A just God doesn't have one set of rules for one group of people and another set of rules for another group of people. Abraham was saved the exact same manner that we are saved, through Yeshua, the Messiah, through the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the one who came here and told us, no greater love hath a man than he lay down his life for his friends, and that's what I go to do. So, all of our ancestors in the Old Testament, so to speak, in the New Testament, which I don't even like that term, because there is no such thing as the Old Testament and the New Testament. There is one Testament. There is one Testament. But we use it for clarification's sake, because that's what everybody thinks of. But it is one Testament from one God who walked and talked with Moses, Adam, and Abraham face to face, who tells us that he came to make the Father known to us, and that he laid down his life, not that anyone took it, but he laid it down for us. And we're told very clearly here that there is no salvation in anyone else. And that means for everyone, from the beginning of time to the ending of time. No salvation in anyone else. We're all saved in the same manner. So I think we see, when we look at it closely, and as I said, there are many more scriptures on this very same subject, that Yeshua was and is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I want to close with one more scripture, with some instruction for us. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 28. And this is speaking of Yeshua. He says, "And now, little children, abide in him, Yeshua, so that when he is revealed, we may have confidence and not be put to shame before him at his coming." Amen. Put your faith in him. Accept his spirit that he pours out to us. And walk in love, in his commandments, in his laws, as in his instruction, his Torah that he gave us for our own good. He didn't give us the Torah for his good. He gave us the Torah for our good. It is instruction in righteous living, from a righteous and just God for me and you to live by. And now, let's all stand and read our blessings together. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. Amen.